May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 832. The men that fear the Lord in every state are blessed. The Lord will grant whate'er they want, their souls shall dwell at rest. 832.
Please God to bless his word as we read it together from the book of Genesis, and we'll read chapter 32 from the book of Genesis, and reading chapter 32. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban, and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants. And I have sent to tell my lord, that I may find grace in thy sight." And the messengers returns to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks, and the herds, and the camels, into two bands. And he said, "If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape." And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." And he lodged there that same night, and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother: 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats, 200 ewes, and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 kine and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, "Pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove." And he commanded the foremost, saying, "When Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, Whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, They be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold also he is behind us." And so commanded he the second and the third and all that followed the droves, saying, "On this manner shall ye speak unto Esau when ye find him. And say ye moreover, Behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us." For he said, "I will appease him with a present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face, peradventure he will accept of me." So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford at Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. May God instruct us from his holy word and help us now to come to him in prayer. Let us all pray. Great and eternal Lord God, we come believing, we approach at the throne of grace, that majesty on high, and yet that almighty God who so gloriously and graciously condescends to look down upon unworthy men and women, boys and girls, sinners on this earth, to hear their prayers. And Lord, we desire therefore, as we've come here together today, that thou wilt look down upon us, and that thou wilt come and meet with us, and thou wilt come and reveal thyself unto us, as thou dost not unto the world. We pray therefore that we may know in our own souls the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. And we pray therefore, gracious God, thou wilt look upon us. We cannot come demanding any blessing. We cannot come, Lord, deserving any blessing. But Lord, we believe thou art a kind and gracious God. And we do therefore plead, Lord, that the prayers which have gone up today for the blessing of the Lord to be with us may indeed be answered, and that we may receive therefore that which shall do us real and eternal good. We acknowledge, Lord, thy blessing which is ours, that we're able to come together, blessed with liberty in our nation still today, and Lord, favoured therefore to be able to gather for worship. But Lord, we are so dependent upon thy Holy Spirit to come and to apply thy word with power from on high, that our minds may be controlled, that we may be taken up with the great things of God, that we may not be left to have a mind that wanders all round the things of this poor world. We pray, Lord, today it may be a day of blessing for our souls, A day when thy great name is lifted up and honoured and glorified. And we are thankful to know we have a God who knows in detail about every single one of us. And we pray therefore, Lord, today, thou wilt condescend to remember us each with that favour thou bearest unto thy people, and to come and indeed visit our souls with thy salvation. Lord, we are a mixed company, young, middle-aged and old. And Lord, we pray that every one of us may be concerned about the condition of our eternal soul. Lord, make us very aware how short our life is, and how eternity is before us. And help us then, Lord, to be blessed with that realization of the great need there is to possess the life of God within. Lord, let us not be satisfied with just an outward performance of religious things. Lord, may we have the evidence of thy gracious work in our soul. And we pray, Lord, therefore, thou wilt remember us indeed for good today. We're grateful, Lord, we have the word of God to read. Thankful for the wonderful truths it contains, the wonderful accounts of thy dealings with those who've gone before. And we pray, Lord, even this morning, as we read that account of part of Jacob's life, that, Lord, we may not just read it as an historical account, but, Lord, may we read it with those spiritual eyes to be able to observe that which thy word tells us, that deep which coucheth beneath, Lord, that spiritual scene which is set before us in such an account as we've read together this morning. And we pray, Lord, therefore, that we may have eyes opened to perceive the great truths that such an account contains. And Lord, we pray that through such accounts our souls may be fed today with that spiritual food. Lord, we've come here together, and Lord, oh, we do pray that thy Holy Spirit may come upon us and feed us with that food which we need. Lord, thou knowest what we need. And yet, Lord, we are so conscious that all through Israel's journey in the wilderness, they were fed, not with a banquet, but, Lord, with food sufficient for their daily needs. And we pray, Lord, even today, we may receive that spiritual food which may be sufficient for our daily needs. Oh, Lord, we do pray thou wilt be gracious to us and come to us where we are. We're thankful, Lord, for the health and strength that all of us here possess in measure that has granted us the favour of gathering. We pray for those who are not here, those who are not well enough, those who are too old, those who perhaps are away. We pray for each one that thou wilt remember them for good. And Lord, we do pray for thy blessing upon this people. Lord, thou hast maintained them for many years in this place. And we're thankful, Lord, for thy presence which has been known and realized here, and we pray it may continue to be so, and we pray there may yet be a wonderful outpouring of thy Holy Spirit upon the people, and so that they may be indeed as spiritually lively in the things of God. They may be so very precious to them. They may be able to testify of thy leadings, of thy work in their souls, so that thy name may be honoured and glorified. And Lord, should there be those here today who as yet are still in that darkness of nature in which they were born. We do pray, Lord, that thy Holy Spirit may come upon such, and that the arrow of conviction may come into their souls, that they may stand recognizing they are a lost sinner and they need a great and glorious Saviour. And we pray therefore, Lord, if this could be so, thou would appear for them, reveal thyself unto them as thou dost not unto the world. We pray, Lord, none may be left out of the great and glorious secret. Thou hast said, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear thee, and thou wilt show them thy covenant. Oh, that great and glorious covenant of love. Oh, we pray, Lord, thou wilt therefore come in thy power. We know, and we're thankful it is so, that power belongeth unto God. And so, Lord, we pray for thy rich blessing to be upon this people. Lord, we cannot pray for any greater favour. And Lord, we come to a God who we know is able to do great things. And yet, Lord, we also know thou hast said, I will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do these things for them. Oh, we pray then, Lord, this people may be a praying people. A people, Lord, whom thou wilt cause to cry unto thee. And Lord, that there may be then answers to those prayers and petitions. Oh, Lord, do great things. And Lord, we pray for them that thou wilt go before them as a church and people. Thou knowest, Lord, there is a little flock here. And we pray, Lord, there may be granted to them a little blessing of a shepherd, an under-shepherd, a pastor, one after thine own heart, whom thou wilt bring amongst them, whom thou wilt instruct, whom thou wilt encourage, whom thou wilt teach the flock here. Oh, we pray, Lord, that if it could be thy will, that this blessed favour may be granted. Lord, thou knowest the prayers and the concerns of the people here to this end. And we pray, Lord, therefore, there may be one raised up who may indeed prove to be that one who thou hast ordained to be that one under thyself who will feed the flock and lead them into those green pastures and those still waters so that they may indeed be blessed indeed. Oh, gracious God, hear our prayer and hear the prayers of the people here to this end. And Lord, may they be indeed constantly praying for such a favour and for such a blessing. And grant, Lord, they may dwell together in love and unity. We pray there may not be allowed any root of bitterness springing up to trouble them. We pray, Lord, that the devil may be kept far away. We know how keen he is, Lord, to come and separate the brethren. And Lord, how able he is to cause the little foxes to come in and stir up discord. But we pray, gracious God, that it may be the wonderful overruling of thy presence and thy blessing to subdue all those efforts which he may endeavour to produce to cause strife and division. We pray, Lord, for thy favour and for thy blessing. Grant, Lord, that each one may be willing to seek the lowest place. We pray, Lord, that everyone may be kept small in their own eyes. They may not be allowed to try and dominate anything. But, Lord, may they all be concerned. Thy great name may be honoured and glorified. And so, Lord, bless all. We pray for the Sunday school. Thou wilt bless the children as they attend and help them to listen, help them to absorb the truth set before them, and grant that while they're young, they may come to know thee, whom to know is life eternal. Then, Lord, we pray for this village of Swavesey, and the surrounding areas. Lord, how many people there are who care nothing for the things of God. Lord, are hastening to a lost eternity. Oh, we pray, gracious God, there may be a wonderful outpouring of thy Holy Spirit, an ingathering of precious souls, those who have a true need. And oh, we pray their need may be met as they gather here with thy people to hear the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed. Oh, Lord, hear us then when we plead for these things. And we think, Lord, of our nation. Lord, we do pray for our country. Thankful, Lord, thou hast not dealt with us as our sins deserve. Thankful, Lord, for thy goodness toward us still. Thankful, Lord, that plans of men have been overturned. And we pray, Lord, thou wilt now be with and help and direct our government. We pray for our Prime Minister, Theresa May, Lord, that she may be influenced by thy Holy Spirit. May she remember, Lord, perhaps some of the things she heard in the church she attended when she was younger and still does now. We pray, Lord, that thy Holy Spirit may therefore come and apply the word of God to her heart so that she may indeed be continually concerned to do the will of God, not to follow her own inclinations. And bless the government, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, that thou art in control. And we pray, Lord, our nation may yet know better days, days when thy Holy Spirit may come upon us. There may be those who truly seek after the things of God. Lord, have mercy upon our country. We wouldn't forget those in other lands who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Lord, we are thankful for the ease that we have in our nation, but we realize there are many abroad who suffer greatly for the truth's sake. Be with them and support them. Help them to wait upon the Lord and to stay upon their God. So, Lord, we come this morning needing thy help, needing thy blessing. O Lord, leave us not, neither forsake us, O God of our salvation, as we come asking all these favours with the forgiveness of every sin. We ask it in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 725. The sinner born of God, to God will pour his prayer, in sighs or groans or words expressed, or in a falling tear. 725.
please God to bless us together this morning as we consider his word, let us turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 32, and we'll read verse 26. The book of Genesis, chapter 32, and reading verse 26. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." This is a familiar account to those who read the Word of God, and it has in it much encouragement and much instruction to the Church of God. And perhaps we're familiar with referring to such an account as this, and yet how seldom perhaps we recognize the depth and the reality of such an account. And sometimes, you know, people foolishly say, "Well, I wrestled with God for such and such, and perhaps it may not have been anything really like that. It's just a form of words which just come from their lips," and perhaps they try to impress people by such a statement. Because such an occasion as this, I'm sure, in the life of the true Church of God, it is rare. And it's wonderful when the Lord does grant such an occasion. And as we read this little account, we see that we're told there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And it shows to us really here that Jacob had a great need, and yet it wasn't his wonderful efforts of saying, "Well, now I must pray and I must do this." This man, the angel, the Lord himself came and blessed Jacob with prayer, and blessed Jacob with prevailing prayer. And it's a wonderful favour for you and me if we know the evidence and the blessing of prevailing prayer. It's easy to just mouth words. You know, sadly, many of our so-called prayers are just mouthed words. They do not really emanate from the Spirit of God. You know, prayer is a very special and a very sacred and a very blessed thing. And we are thankful, of course, that we can come to our God in prayer in any situation and any place and at any time. But nonetheless, we do need to be made conscious that in such an attitude, we are approaching unto the majesty on high, the Almighty God, the one who has created all things, the one who has made all things. And he is a great God, and he is worthy to be praised. And we should therefore come to our God in prayer, recognizing the greatness of our God, and to be so thankful if there have been those occasions in our lives when the Lord has come and granted us a gracious outpouring of his Holy Spirit and blessed us with a true spirit of prayer. You may like to just think in your lives whether you've been blessed with such occasions. And if it has been so, it will have been because your prayers have entered in to the holy place through the merits of our great and glorious Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, God is a holy God. God cannot look upon sin. And we as sinners of the earth cannot therefore approach unto the holy God without the intercession of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that figure set before us throughout the Old Testament when the high priest entered into the holy place not without blood. And we today can enter into the holy place, but not without the blood of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. So it will be a wonderful blessing if the Holy Spirit has shown to us our need of a Saviour, and what a great and glorious privilege it is to be able to come to God in prayer, believing the Lord Jesus takes our prayers and presents them unto his Father. So therefore we are then accepted, not because of what we've done, but we are accepted in the Beloved, the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it'll be then a wonderful blessing if you and I know something of the aid of the Holy Spirit to pray unto our God and to be blessed, therefore, with that true spirit of prevailing prayer. The little epistle of James tells us the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And what a need there is in each of our spiritual lives for the blessing of that effectual, fervent prayer. You just ponder those words. Prayer to be effectual has to come up to our God in that right way. And think for that fervency in prayer. See, when you and I are brought into spiritual conditions of need, then our prayers take on a different form. And by that I mean this. It's not then just a mere formal prayer. I'm not speaking against formal prayers, but I am saying this, that when the Lord blesses us with a spirit of true prevailing prayer, you know, it's fervent. And it's as though then no one else stands between us and God. And we then have the evidence that our prayers have entered into the holy place. And we can then believe that our prayers will receive answers. Now, what a blessing if you and I have come to God in that way, where we do need God to hear and to answer our prayers. Well, we have an example of that in this account, in this 32nd chapter of Genesis. Here was a man of God. Here was a man of God whose religion was being tested. You might say, well, why do you say that? Why was his religion being tested? It was being tested because God had spoken to him. God had told him what he should do. And now it seemed that there was great opposition to fulfilling that word. And his religion was therefore being tested. Well, it's a good thing if your religion and my religion is tested before God. So we don't want to have a false religion. We don't want to have a religion which we've just assumed is godliness, when of course it's lacking the vital reality of truth in the heart. And so here we have, in this case here, Jacob. And he's been told that Esau's coming with 400 men. And what does it do? It fills him with fear. What does it make him do? Cry to God. And he's able to come and to remind God of his promises. And so perhaps your life is being tested. Your spiritual life is being tested. And things don't seem to be going very smoothly. In fact, they appear to be going in the opposite way. And it's a pretty rough time. And you can't really understand why things are turning out as they are. Well, just look at this case. Here was Jacob, and he came and he prayed to God and he said, "Oh God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me." See, here was the testimony. God had spoken to him, and now he was returning this statement to God. "Who saidst unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee." And then you know he comes and it gives an indication of his position before God and how the Lord had moved his heart to reveal to him what he really was. And he says, "I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies." Now that's a blessing. If you and I are brought to that condition that we can't think that we're worthy of any notice, that we come in that position realizing we're less than the least of all saints, we're unworthy of any notice by Almighty God. And come therefore like this man, he says, "I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all thy truth, which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good." And that's the question, isn't it? It didn't seem that the Lord was going to do him good now, did it? It seemed that things were going in the opposite way. They didn't seem to be working for him. They seemed to be working against him. Sometimes we may look at the scene and we may think things are working against us. Well, remember what the Apostle Paul said. I know your gracious words, and the apostle had a pretty tough life. He tells us this. He said, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose." See, Paul was able to declare such a great truth. And he had experienced God's goodness to him in remarkable ways. You only have to read the Acts of the Apostles to recognize how the Lord wonderfully appeared for his servant Paul. And here we have this statement, "And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." Well, that was a mighty promise, wasn't it? And now it seemed, perhaps, that everything was going to be destroyed. He was going to be destroyed. His family was going to be destroyed. How was this going to be fulfilled? How was it going to be fulfilled? Well, we see It caused Jacob to pray to his God. It caused his religion to be tested. And it's a good thing in our lives if we find the work of the Spirit upon us, bringing us into condition, testing the reality of our religion. Because if it's of God, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. But our religion will be tested. And that which of the flesh we'll have to lose. Yes, remember what we read in the Proverbs on two occasions. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And my friends, you and I don't want to be left in a way that just seems to be right. We want to be led and directed in the way that is right. And so here we have, therefore, this account of Jacob on this occasion. And we see then what happened. He delivered his family and all his cattle, and he sent them on before him. And he rose up in the night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over all that he had. And Jacob was left alone. The people of God have to walk the path that the Lord has ordained for them. And it's an individual path. It's a path peculiar to them. And it's a path where they cannot rely upon other people. They have to rely upon the Word of God. They have to rely upon the encouragement from the Word of God. And so we will find that in our deepest needs, we walk alone. And the truth is, you see, God knows what he's doing with us. Other people don't know. God knows the end from the beginning. We need to remember that sometimes. He knows what he's doing with us. We don't know. We're in the midst of turmoil, perhaps. God knows what the end is. He knows how he will bring us through. And he knows how to be for our honour, his honour and glory, and our soul's eternal good. And therefore, let us not be surprised in our spiritual life if we don't always find things going in the way that we anticipate. Now, the Lord will try, the Lord will test. We have it set before us so many times. You only have to read the 11th of Hebrews to recognize how those godly people were blessed with living faith. Jacob was blessed with living faith. And my friends, God's people are blessed with living faith. And we say how true it is. As the word of God says, by these things men live. That's what Hezekiah said. By these things men live. Hezekiah was facing death. Yes, and he'd been wonderfully blessed, but the Lord brought him into that situation and it caused him to cry unto God most fervently. When he came out of and was delivered, he said, by these things men live. And the children of God recognize the need for such scenes as this to cause life in the soul to be lively and healthy. If we never had any trials, we never had any difficulties, we never had any temptations, what would happen? We'd never pray. You might mutter a few words, but you never pray from your heart. But you see, when the Lord works in the heart, there's then real true prayer. You know, you can think of that glorious little example that Lord Jesus spoke about the false prayer and the true prayer. And he highlighted that by indicating and showing the difference between the Pharisee and the publican. Publican, of course, for you young people, is a tax collector, not perhaps a publican that we think of today. But nonetheless, so the example, the two people, and really, we fall into one of those categories. You know, the Pharisee, what did he do? He prayed to himself. He prayed to himself. He was thankful. What a great guy he was. Yes, not like that poor old publican over there. Well, the publican was so very different. Yes, he couldn't lift up his eyes. His eyes were cast down. And he smote upon his breast, realizing what a bad man he was. And he prayed from his heart. Very simple, a very true prayer, and a prayer that never becomes out of date with God's people. He prayed this, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What did the Lord say of such a character? I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, made just with God, rather than the other. Yes, it's not the quantity of words, it's the quality of words. And what a simple prayer that was, and how wonderful if you and I are brought by the Spirit of God to pray from our heart. That example, that parable, showed that man praying from his heart, and he prayed like that, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, what a blessing if the Spirit of God has brought you and me to realize that we are a wretched and an undone and a hell-deserving sinner. Because if that is so, then you will know what it is to be blessed with the spirit of prayer, to pray the Lord will have mercy upon you, and the Lord will forgive you, and the Lord will show you that you have a Saviour, and that's none less than the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, that position, that teaching, you'll be alone. You'll be alone with God. What a mercy that is to think that Almighty God comes and takes you and me individually and deals with our soul. Deals with our soul in love to our soul, to reveal to ourselves what we are, and then to reveal to ourselves what He is. Well, the blessing of the favour of God. You see, here we have in this account the blessing of God to Jacob. God had loved him. We know the Word of God tells us very solemnly that Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Now you see, you and I today, we're either a Jacob or we're an Esau. There's no middle line. We're on one side of the line or the other. We're either a Jacob blessed with true prevailing prayer, or we're like Esau, who was not blessed with prevailing prayer. You know, well, they're both blessed, weren't they, by their father. But you see, Jacob was blessed with a wonderful blessing. And Esau sought that he might receive it. But you see, it wasn't God's purpose. And therefore, how important it is for all of us to know that we are amongst those who receive the portion of Jacob and are blessed and are loved of our God. And it'll be a wonderful thing if the Lord puts in your heart and my heart that real concern, that real prayer to know that we are amongst those whom God has loved with an everlasting love, and that those who have been drawn by his spirit. You see, again, let's not forget that Esau despised his birthright. Despised his birthright. He could therefore have no complaint. He despised his birthright. You know, let us today not despise our birthright. But let us be thankful the Lord has granted us the wonderful favour of being born perhaps into a godly home. Not to despise that and to cast it away as something of little value. Well, may you and I be found amongst those who are Jacob. Now, of course, we know that Jacob's life wasn't perfect at all, was it? But nonetheless, the Lord had mercy upon him. And that's all we need to have and to know, the mercy of God toward us. And the mercy of God was set forth in this account here when Jacob was blessed like this. He was left alone and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. See, it wasn't just a mere acknowledgement. It was a true burden, a true wrestling of prayer. And we're told, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And Jacob's response, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Now, quite clearly, here he had a real God-given, earnest concern that he might be blessed. And we may ask, and rightly ask, well, what was he seeking after? And what are we seeking after? To be blessed. You know, if you pray to God that you might be blessed, what are you really seeking for? It's a familiar expression, isn't it? That we might be blessed. Well, I believe if our concern is to be blessed, it will be our concern to be more Christ-like in our life and to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour and to know that he has indeed died to take away our sins, that he has shed his precious blood on our behalf so that we are amongst those who are numbered as redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Now, if you and I are praying to be blessed, except thou bless me. We have a very short prayer in the Chronicles. It's the 4th chapter, the 10th verse. And there's a man there called Jabez. And his prayer is recorded. And it's recorded in the middle, really, of that account. And it's good to have such an account like it and to have such a prayer recorded for our encouragement. And we're told, and Jabez was more honourable than his brethren. His mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, and this was his prayer, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." Well, was that prayer answered? And God granted him that which he requested. What a mercy it is, isn't it, to therefore be found with a similar prayer like that on our lips and to realize how it correlates so closely with that of Jacob. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. And let us realize here that this really is directing us very clearly to our spiritual state, our spiritual soul. we should pray for natural blessings. We should pray, Lord, to help and guide us and direct us in our little lives. But our great concern should be for the Lord God to bless our souls. That really, really is the great need that we have. Because we're soon finished with all the vain things of life. We'd have to stand before Almighty God, and then what a favour it is to know that we are complete in Him and that we are not left to ourselves. And the 42nd Psalm is very appropriate for us, really, because the psalmist speaks here about his soul. You know, we're wonderfully blessed with the Psalms that speak so much to us about our souls. And he comes and he tells us, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. I believe Jacob was panting after God. Jabez was panting after God. What a wonderful blessing if you and I are found panting after God, crying unto him. He tells us, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? All of us will have to one day do that. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continue to say unto me, where is thy God? Well, I wonder if we've cried out to God from our heart and we've mourned over our sins and we've shed tears before God that he might grant the blessing, that he might come indeed and touch our hearts and touch our souls. And then this psalm goes on, and it we're told, he says, he's asking himself the question. He's asking himself, you know, it's good to ask ourselves questions. The Word of God tells us to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith or not. Yes, you can stand before God and ask questions. And he asks his questions, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Why was he disquieted within himself? No doubt because he saw all the sin, all the vile sins which kept on coming up within him. And what did it do? It disquieted him. And it disquiets us if we are indeed amongst the true church of God. But then he gives the answer. He asks the question, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? And then he gives the answer. And what's the answer? Hope thou in God. That's what Jacob was doing, wasn't he? Hope thou in God. And then we see that he was given faith to believe. Jacob was given faith to believe. He said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And here the psalmist was given a faith to believe, because he says, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And it's quite significant in this 42nd psalm. I read the 5th verse. The 11th verse is exactly the same, apart from three words added at the end. And my God. And my God. He wasn't praying to the unknown God. He was praying to the God who by faith he believed in. And therefore, it's good if you and I can recognize the position that the psalmist was in, and also Jabez was in, and also Jacob was in, and to realize, yes, well, I believe by the grace of God, the Lord's looked upon me and caused me to come to him in prayer. And he's come to me and blessed me with a wonderful favor of wrestling prayer. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Well, if the Spirit of God is working in our souls and we desire truly to know the blessing of the Lord, and that is to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and him crucified. You young people may think, well, why do I need to know the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified? Well, you need to know that because you need to know that the Lord Jesus Christ died to take away your sin. You may ask, well, why is that? Again, in the Hebrews, we're told that there's no forgiveness, there's no remission without shedding of blood, which meant death. And that's the picture we have right through the Word of God, that death and the shedding of blood occurred so that there could be that forgiveness of sin. And that's why we need to know the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified, to know that he has died on our behalf and that he has shed his blood, he's given his life as a sacrifice so that we might be forgiven, that our sins might be taken away. So these things are not just a theory. This is so essential. This is really the center of true religion, to know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. And you won't appreciate that until the Lord actually shows you the blessing of it. And then you'll rejoice in it. And you'll bless God that he revealed such a truth to your soul, because it is a truth which is an eternal blessing. Bless me. Well, have you prayed the Lord might bless you in this way? You might truly know the Lord Jesus Christ as that blessed one. And it's so, so humbling to think that Almighty God should have condescended to stand and to die that sin-atoning death to redeem our souls, to redeem my soul, to redeem your soul. It's a very personal blessing. It's a very personal revelation. Do you know that's what will stand you and me in good stead? Yes, when we know that Christ has died that we might live. What a favour it is. Well, here was Jacob then on this occasion saying, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. How concerned he was. And it's a blessing that we have the whole Word of God to instruct us and to encourage us. And the book of Hosea, there's a statement in the book of Hosea which speaks about Jacob. You may think, well, that's unusual. Well, it's not. The Word of God is so complete. But in Hosea, the 12th chapter, and we read about Jacob, and this is what it said. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. So there's a wonderful confirmation of God's favour and blessing to Jacob. Many years later, you see, recorded here by Hosea the prophet for our encouragement, and to know that this was true, and also how it occurred. And we do see here, he wept. You know, when the Lord God convinces us of our sin, it's not something trivial. It's something which weighs us down. And it's something which will make us cry out, as I've said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What a favour then to come weeping before God, crying earnestly that he will indeed take away our sins, that he would indeed reveal himself to us as our Saviour, the great and glorious Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my friends, what a blessing, what a favor to be led by the Spirit like this. And you see, if the Lord brings you and me into times of difficulty, as Jacob was here, and what a good end it had, what a good outcome. The Lord was with him. The Lord blessed him. Because the answer was, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? Wasn't told. And he blessed him there. He blessed him there. Well, Jacob, you see, was able then to press on and go forward. We may think in our lives, how does that relate? Well, the Word of God tells us, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. It's the only way you and I can press on and go forward. Not in our strength. The strength of Almighty God. God gave Jacob strength. Yes, God gives his people strength. In the midst of trials and temptations, was they able to be drawn to him, to commit their way unto him, to thank God there is a God who hears and answers prayer, and to pray that he will go before them and reveal himself unto them as it is not unto the world. And when the Lord graciously, and it is, my friends, graciously, because we'll always stand amazed. We'll always stand amazed how John Newton, he got it right, didn't he, when he said, amazing grace, the unmerited favour. So it is. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Tis grace has made me free. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, and if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. The devil endeavours to keep us captive. But bless God, when he comes and speaks to our souls and reveals himself to us as our great and glorious Saviour, you see, there is liberty, freedom. So the devil cannot hold us. He'll try and keep us in prison. When the Lord grants the spirit of prayer, you see, the prison doors open and we're set free. Liberty to the captive. And how is it opened? By the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're drawn to him. The lovely little word in the Song of Solomon, draw me and we will run after thee. When the Holy Spirit draws us to the Saviour, then there's a running after him. We see an attraction in the Saviour that we never saw before. Before, it was just a name. But now, the name of Jesus, that name is above every name. The name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And you'll understand also what the hymn writer said when he said, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. Before, it didn't mean anything really. When the Holy Spirit has blessed us with favours like this, that we've been granted that true prayer with our God, he's come and blessed us, then Jesus is a sweet name. We love to hear it. It's music in our ears because we realise our salvation depends upon what he has done, not what we've done, what Christ has done. Oh, my friends, this morning, may we be blessed as we think upon this little account of Jacob and the experience and the testimony that he was able to declare and to be able to trace out in our little lives, especially if we're perhaps perplexed with a situation and we don't know how the scene's going to end. Let us remember the words of the apostle when he said, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called by grace, the called according to his purpose." And what a wonderful thing if God has a purpose for you and me. You see, all of God's people, there is a purpose in their lives. You know, we're bought with a price then. We're not to serve ourselves. We're to be found serving our God as we realize what a price he's paid for our redemption. What a blessing it is to know that God has ordained a purpose for your life and my life, and that we might live our life as unto the Lord and not unto ourselves. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £760, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, our friend Mr. Hyde will address the Sunday school this afternoon and give out the prizes. Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Richard Field next Lord's Day, who also hopes to administer the Lord's Supper. There will also be a prayer meeting for members on Friday evening. Let us close with hymn 419. Just are thy ways and true thy word, great rock of my secure abode. Who is a God beside the Lord, or where's a refuge like our God? 419.
Thank you.
Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.